Hello guys, Eugene Allen here, Blatsman Global. Hope you're all doing well. First and foremost, massive, massive congratulations to Karolina Muchova. First time Wimbledon finalist, second time Grand Slam finalist. But yeah, she got the better of Coco Gauff in that semi-final. And what a match. What a match from both ladies. Muchova made the better start, taking the first set 6-2. Gauff came back in the second, taking it 6-1. And then quite fittingly, it went to a 10-point tiebreaker in that third. Gauff the first to get to match point. And yeah, we all kind of, it's been a day now, like we all know what happened on that match point. If you weren't watching, Gauff served an amazing tee serve. Muchova gets it back, lands short on Goff's side of the court. And then Gauff decides to play a forehand drop shot, but she nets it. So, you know, it was tough to watch, but then at the same time, quite a gutsy play from Gauff. And then Muchova, to her credit, she locked in after that, and she played an amazing lob. It was like, I think it was 9-all at that point. And yeah, lobbed Gauff for 10-9, and then after that, like, she basically, yeah, it was pretty much all over. And then she closed that out after Gauff, I think, netted a forehand. So it was, like I said, a fitting way to kind of end the match, considering both ladies exchange or basically traded the opening two sets. And I think it's always nice as well when a final goes the distance, like for the fans and yeah, like for the media too, because it's, you know, it's something to write about. It's, you know, it's exciting for like the game, for the tournament. And yeah, I feel like both ladies can be very proud of their efforts. But obviously Gauff, like, it was sad to see like the tournament end for her in that manner. But what I loved about her, and like what I think I've said this so many times before, like just the way she's able to basically bounce back after defeats, or even when she's in matches where she's losing, she tends to find a way. She wasn't able to do so against Muchova, but this tournament she has played. Basically, all of her matches, barring her first round match, were three set matches. And like I said before, I think in my preview, I did expect her to come through in three sets again, but it wasn't to be. And it's not a big deal. I mean, she's 22 years old. So, I mean, God knows how many more Wimbledon she has like left. She's got a lot more ahead of her. So, yeah, I feel like this tournament, although it's going to hurt and it, you know, she kind of alluded to that in press, that there's a lot to kind of take away and be positive about, because it has been a breakthrough. It's been a breakthrough event considering, yeah, the last 2 years she hadn't won a match on grass. So to kind of come in with that record and then reach your first semi-final at Wimbledon, I was saying to some friends that I'm convinced now, more so than I was at the start of the tournament, that yeah, she's going to win Wimbledon. I'm going to say in the next 3 years. I know that's, I mean, this is just a prediction that I'm you know, coming off with. This isn't fact, but I just feel we're watching Coco Gauff improve, like, in real time, like, on a surface that she hasn't been comfortable on in the past. But yeah, what an effort this year, like, to come through the way she did. She was down and out in the second round. Again, it was a 10-point tiebreak, and she came back and took that match from out of nowhere. So, again, kind of just showing the kind of mental toughness and resilience that she has. And why we all kind of love watching her. Like, her matches, they are entertaining because there's a lot of drama and, like, kind of tension in them. But yeah, more often than not, like, she does tend to find a way to win. And that is kind of what makes her, like, so great already at 22 years old. So for me, like I said, she is a future Wimbledon champion. I have no doubt about that. And yeah, it's only a matter of time. So I would not be, she definitely surprised me this year with the run to the semi-finals. But yeah, next year, I wouldn't be surprised if she goes all the way, or the year after that, or the year after that. So kind of mark my words on that one. I feel very, very confident. But just kind of staying with Gauff and like the kind of way she digested the defeat. Like, obviously after the match as well, there was a warm embrace at the net, which is to be expected. Like, both are quite well liked, and just very likable characters in general. So that was nice to see. And then Goff, I think the match finished just before 4:15 in the afternoon. Goff was then basically, it was announced that Goff was doing press at around 5:30. So she gave herself some time to kind of, you know, digest the defeat, and like, you know, it was a tough loss. Usually players after like such a defeat, it's not uncommon for players to immediately do press, just straight afterwards, to just basically be over and done with, you know, and get out of the grounds like as soon as possible. But I thought that was also quite telling, the fact that Goff gave herself like an hour, just to kind of like digest the defeat, and like, you know, maybe I wouldn't be surprised if she did maybe cry with her team, and like that's completely fine. But in press, man, what a show of just, for me, class again, because obviously she was very, you know, nice towards her opponent, you know, gave Mukova all the credit she deserved. But what I was most impressed with was the way that Goff was able to kind of make sense of the loss, like so soon after. And yeah, if you haven't seen it already, I would thoroughly recommend like you go and watch it or listen to it like in full, because yeah, her answers were so considered, and just really like insightful. But I took a lot away from it, just because there was, like I said, a lot of thought and consideration went into her answers. But the fact that she was able to be like so clear, like in her thoughts, like so soon after like such a heartbreaking defeat, like just massive, massive hats off to her. But my favorite answer, which I'll play for you in a sec, was in response to a question basically relating to her form coming into Wimbledon, and just like maybe now will her kind of attitude or mindset towards Wimbledon change off the back of this run? And yeah, this is what she said.
I wonder whether this run, this is the Grand Slam you previously had done the least good at. Has this recalibrated how you think about Wimbledon? Maybe you always believed you could win it, but do you now have greater belief that maybe one day you will?
For sure. I definitely have more faith, and I have a lot of things that I can improve. And yeah, I think, like I said earlier this week, that regardless of the result, it's a breakthrough tournament for me. Needed something like this to have my belief at this tournament. And I'm definitely going to come next year with more confidence and hopefully a better player.
So yeah, she said, I'm definitely going to come back next year with more confidence and hopefully a better player, which, I mean, if we're going by like the trend of her career so far, like she has improved year on year. I think this year the biggest standout for me was the serve. Like the serve was holding up so well. She was serving, I think she served like two or three double faults in the whole match against Mukova. But yeah, the serve is getting much more stable. And again, I've said this in the past, even Andy Roddick said it on his podcast a few months ago, after I said it actually. But yeah, he said that she's going to be, he has no doubts that she's going to be one of the most dominant servers on the WTA tour, like in the near future. And I feel that way too, because she's able to generate so much easy power. Like she's got a lot of power like in her legs, which is where the power from the serve is generated from, you know, the lower body. So the fact that she's able to kind of, or when she, we're seeing it in real time, like I said, but yeah, the fact that she's able to generate that much power, especially on the first serve, like that will be a weapon for her, I feel, going forward. And again, we saw that kind of, that was the case like throughout this Wimbledon run for her. Like the serve was holding up very well, the forehand too. Also just her net play. I love watching Coco Gauff at the net. I feel like she's one of the best volleyers in the game. Obviously she's played a lot of doubles kind of in the early stages of her career, which has clearly paid off. But yeah, I feel like if she can kind of adapt that or kind of implement that more into her game, that is going to be, you know, another kind of, hurdle. It's going to be another problem for the players on the WTA tour to kind of deal with. Because yeah, she's already, you know, such a good player, even though there is, you know, there's still improvements to be made, like she said. So yeah, an incredible one from Coco Gauff. she entered Wimbledon number 7 in the world, and she'll leave as the world number 4. So she's back up to number 4 in the ranking. So trending in the right direction. And yeah, like she said before, like she was not expecting to reach the semi-finals. And if we're going by seedings, obviously she was seeded 7. She's exceeded that. So reaching the last 4, it's pretty good going. So yeah, Mukova, she'll face Linda Noskova, Fedor Czech, in the final. So it's going to be an all-Czech affair. Women's final at Wimbledon this year. Noskova, the 21-year-old, will be competing in her first Grand Slam final. Mukova in her second. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I don't know. I can't really call that one. It's tough for me. I think I'm probably going to go with experience, just the fact that Mukova's been to a final before at a Grand Slam, and I feel like that will kind of stand her in good stead, but we'll see. It's a 50-50 toss-up, so yeah, good luck to both ladies, and congratulations to both ladies as well for reaching, you know, their first Wimbledon final. In other news, actually, away from Wimbledon, Felix Auger-Aliassime, this year's third seed who reached the quarterfinals, he announced that Wimbledon was his last tournament with his longtime coach, Frederick Fontang. They were working together for nearly 10 years. Felix posted a really nice video on his Instagram, actually. Just, it was like a nice montage of like clips of him and Fontang over the years. I won't read you everything that he said, because it's got quite a long post, but basically, yeah, Felix just thanked Fontang for you know, their time together. Obviously, Felix reaching a career high, number 4 in the world, and yeah, I mean, that for me is a bit of a shock, because Felix has kind of shown his loyalty, like, over the years, like with his coach, or coaches that he's worked with. I think Guillaume Marx was another long term coach that was on the team, that left, I can't remember the year, but yeah, Marx left, and then it was just Fontang on his own. And obviously, we all know Tony Nadal came in for a period as well, and kind of was working like as a consultant almost, but that was like more of a short term like situation. But with Fontang, it's been more long term. So yeah, that is now, that kind of partnership is now over. So we'll see who Felix brings on board next. I don't have any kind of background insight, or yeah, I have no idea who that's going to be. But I'm definitely intrigued, because, like I said in the previous pod, like, I thought Felix is in a very good place at the moment, considering where he's in the rankings. And yeah, just the year he's kind of had, I feel like, yeah, there's also a breakthrough like on the horizon for Felix, and I feel like, yeah, maybe this coaching change is going to ignite or take him to the next level. So let's see. Very exciting. Staying with Canada or Canadian players, world number 10 Victoria Mboko, who suffered a nasty fall at Queens last month now. So she's ruled herself out of the Canadian Open, where she is the defending champion. And yeah, I mean, it's that knee injury that it seems to be fairly serious. The fact that she's ruled herself out of that event that doesn't start until August. So for me, I'm trying to look at it from a positive point of view, like the fact that she's taking her time and you know, not rushing back. I feel like that's a positive. But also I'm sad to see her, you know, not being able to compete and ultimately defend her title, which is where she kind of announced herself to the world and like had that massive rise. So yeah, just speedy recovery, Victoria. And yeah, hopefully we'll be seeing you back very, very soon. And yeah, guys, that's kind of a quick kind of wrap up show of the semi-finals. I mean, I might as well talk about the men's quickly, as I was working on the second men's semi-final. So Jannik Sinner booking his place in another Wimbledon final after taking out Novak Djokovic in straight sets. It was a very, very good performance from Sinner. Probably his best match he's played so far this Wimbledon, which is, you know, great timing. And in that final, he'll take on Alexander Zverev, the German second seed, who took out the British wildcard Arthur Ferry, or Arthur Ferry, again in straight sets. What a one from Ferry, though. A superb effort to get to a semi-final of a Grand Slam on a wild card. He's up to like 36, I think, in the world. So he's now the new British number one, which is just incredible. So, yeah, fantastic tournament for Ferry. And yeah, that's a very mouth-watering final, I feel, to look forward to in the men's side. The top seeds, one and two, going head-to-head. Sinner does lead the head-to-head 10-4, so pretty one-sided. But I mean, again, with it being a final, they're both on, I think, 13 match winning streaks as well. So Sinner obviously winning, Sinner's winning streak coming, he leads the head-to-head 10-4. They're both currently on 13 match winning streaks as well. Sinner dating back from Wimbledon, so he's on a 13 match Wimbledon win streak. Zverev on a 13 match Grand Slam winning streak. Obviously, he won the French Open before Wimbledon. So something's going to give on Sunday. So we'll see. We'll see who comes out on the top there. I'm going to go Sinner. Just because, yeah, I feel like he's just playing so well. And I feel like, yeah, there's going to be kind of intention to defend and also go back to back. I feel like that's going to be a big feat for him. And he's... For me, he's more than capable of doing it. Like, he's the world number one, and he's playing like that. So, yeah, we'll see who comes out on top. And yeah, guys, that wraps up my semi-final roundup. I will be back to do a Wimbledon roundup at the end of the tournament, so stay tuned for that. But until then, enjoy the finals. And yeah, I'll see you next time.